Perek Shlishi Ra'uhu Bezdin, the Mishnah. If Bezdin and all of Klal Yisrael saw the new moon, but they did not have a chance to announce it on that particular day, then they must wait and proclaim it on the next day. Once you miss the opportunity the day before, they have to push it off to the next day. And the Gemara says, in Dine Mamanus, you can judge a person by day and make the psak by night. But by Kiddush HaChodesh, both the Chakiras HaEdim and the proclamation must be made by day. You're not allowed to do either of them at night. If Bezdin can be Mekadesh the Chodesh by hearing from two Edim, so surely if they themselves see the new moon, they can be Mekadesh Chodesh, since we know, Leitehei Shmiya Gedayla Meri'iya. And finally, the Gemara says there was no greater mumcha than Moshe Rabbeinu. Nonetheless, Moshe was only able to be Mekadesh Chodesh together with Aaron. Daf Chavav. If someone is seemingly Mechuyev in Misa, Bezdin has a Chiyev to try to find a schus for that particular person or some sort of a loophole to pater him from Misa. The Gemara says, Ein Eid Nasa Dayan. Once a person says testimony, he cannot serve as a Dayan on that case. As background to the next Mishnah. Regarding Rosh Hashanah, the Pasuk says, Yom Teruwa Yiyeh Lachem. It should be a day of a wailing sound. And in the year of a Yovel, we learn that the Teruwa is done via Shofar. The Mishnah says, any type of horn is okay for Shofar, except that of a par. Rabbi Yossi says, all horns are okay. We paskin that only hollow horns can be used, and the horn of a par cannot be used. Rav Chisda asks, why doesn't the Kohen Gadol go into the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur with his regular Big Day Zohav? Why does he go in with special Big Day Lavan? So the Gemara answers, Mipnei She'en Kateger Nase Seneger. Since gold was used for the Egel, it cannot now be used as a defender for Klal Yisrael. And since the par was used for the Egel, we're not allowed to use its horn for a Shofar either. En Kateger Nase Seneger. Also, you're not allowed to use the shofar of a par, since it's considered a keren, not a shofar. The Gemara says that in different cities, they have special nicknames for things. For example, Rabbi Akiva saw in Galia that Anida was called Galmuda, because she was separated from her husband. The next Mishnah. Lechatchila, the best shofar for Rosh Hashanah is a horn of a mountain goat, of a yael, which is straight. This is the Tanakama. In the Beis Hamikdash, the mouthpiece of a shofar had gold. And they also had chatzotzrus, horns as an accompaniment. On fast days, they should use a shofar of a ram, which is bent. The Mishnah says that the shofar of Yom Kippur, Yovel, is the same as Rosh Hashanah. It's straight. Rabbi Yehuda, who is how we paskin, argues on a Tana Kama, and he says that on Rosh Hashanah we use the shofar of a ram, which is bent, kofav, but on Yovel we use the shofar of a yael, of a mountain goat, which is straight. Rav Levi says that the mitzvah of both Rosh Hashanah and Yovel Yom HaKippurim is with a bent shofar, one that is kofof. But the rest of the year, for example, on a tainus, it should be straight. The reason for Rav Yehuda says that we use a bent shofar on Rosh Hashanah is to symbolize a person's state of mind during the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, that he's supposed to be bent over, he's supposed to be humble. If one uses a ram's horn that is not bent, so as we see in Siman Tof Kuf Pevav, you're not Yaitza. And the Rishonim add that not only must it be bent, but lechatchila we should use a horn from a ram that's bent. This is as a remembrance of the Akedas Yitzchak. And the Rambam says that even b'di'evad, if we use the horn that's not from a ram, then we're not yaitza. The Ritva says that the Yom Kippur, which is spoken of here, is that of Yovel. On a regular Yom Kippur, that we know we blow shofar at the end of Yom Kippur, there's no obligation to blow the shofar at all. Clearly, since there's no real chiyuv to do that, there's no bracha that's recited for this blowing, and there are no restrictions on the type of shofar which is used, or the sounds of the blast that we blow. The Ritva also adds that the blast that we blow on after Yom Kippur is sounded after Mariv, but the Mordechai and the Hagos Maimoni say that it sounded immediately after Ne'ila. As the blowing of the shofar is considered a chachma and not a malacha, there's no problem of it being blown before Mariv. And today, typically in most shuls, right after we finish Ne'ila, we say Shema Yisrael once, Baruch Shem three times, Hashem Hu Elokim seven times, then we say Kaddish, then we blow Shofar. Daf Chav Zayin. A person must hear the beginning and the end of every Tekiah. That means in Malchias, we blow Tekiah, Trua Tekiah. Zechroinus, we blow Tekiah, Trua Tekiah. And in Shofar, we blow Tekiah, Trua Tekiah. So the Chiyav Deraisa is to hear these nine different blows. The Pasuk says Zachar V'Shamar, as we learned by Shabbos. So we say Zachar V'Shamar B'dibur Echad Namro. They were both said at exactly the same time, which was, of course, a nes. If a person blows a shofar into a bor, if he heard the sound of the shofar only, then he's yaitza. But if he also heard the sound of the echo coming from the pit, then he's not Yoitza. Because we say, Trei Koli Loi Mishtamoi. You're not supposed to, or you're not able to hear two voices simultaneously. The Gemara says that if 10 people read a Megillah together, they are Yoitza, since the Megillah is considered Chaviv, it's considered very precious, and therefore they'll listen very well. So we don't passel it due to Trei Koli Loi Mishtamoi, and this would also apply if one heard the Shofar and the Chatzotzris together. But since it's considered Chaviv, we do not passel it as Trei Koli Loi Mishtamoi. The Gemara says that we use silver versus gold for the Chatzotzris, since the Torah has pity on people's money. HaTorah Chasa Al Mameinu Shel Yisra. In our Tfilos on Rosh Hashanah, we follow Rebbe Eliezer, who holds B'Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam, since in Zechrinus we say, Zeh Hayoim Tchilas Ma'asecha, on this particular day, which is Rosh Hashanah, therefore it's like Rebbe Eliezer, the Mishnah. If the Shofar became split and we glued it, then it's Pasul, since it's like two different Shofars. If it has a hole and you patch it up, if the sound ends up to be the same as the old sound, then it's kosher. Otherwise, if a new sound comes out of this new configuration, then it's pasul. If someone blows a shofar into a pit, if the sound mixes with the echo, then he's not yoitza, since we know the bracha is lishmaya kol shofar. If someone was walking by a shul and happened to hear the shofar or happened to hear the megillah, as long as he had kavana to be yoitza, then he's yoitza. But if he did not have kavana, then he's not yoitza. And the Gemara says, if someone cuts a shofar to make it shorter, he's yoitza. If he gold plates the shofar, or he gold plates the mouthpiece, and it affects the sound of the shofar at all, then he's not yoitza. Since now it is not just coming from the shofar, but it's now coming from two different things. The Gemara says one must blow from the narrow part of the shofar into the wider part of the shofar, because that's how it grows from the animal. It comes out of the animal's head, narrow, and then it gets wider. The person turns it around, then he's not yoitza. If a shofar has a hole, in order for it to remain kosher, it has to meet three requirements. Number one, roiv of the shofar, of the original shofar, must be left. Number two, the material used to patch up the shofar must be b'minai, it has to be a piece from another shofar. And number three, the new sound must be the same as the old one. We paskin like this, and we're machmer, that we need all three of these things for it to remain kosher. A shofar must be at least one tefach big, and any sound that it produces would still be considered good. The Gemara says, if we blow the shofar into a bor, then he's not yaitza, because we don't know if it's the sound of the shofar or the sound of an echo. However, if someone is in the bar and the person hears the actual sound of the shofar but not the echo, then he's yaitza. Daf Chofres. If a person heard part of the tekiyas before daybreak, before Amud HaShachar, then he's not yaitza, because it's now before the Zman. Rabbi Yehuda says if a person uses a shofar that was really Asr Bahana, in other words, it was from a carbon, then it's considered like he's mal, and it's considered mitzvah haba avera, and he's not yoitza lechatchila. But the eved, if it's on an oila, then he is yoitza, since an oila is kachim kachim, and as soon as he uses it for the shofar, it becomes chulin. Others say that he is yoitza, since it's mitzvah lav lehenes nitno. What about a stolen shofar? The Rambam says that one who blows a stolen shofar fulfills the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is lishmaya kol shofar, to hear the sound of the shofar. As such, the blower doesn't even have to touch the shofar or pick it up, and the listener fulfills the mitzvah. The only thing that the listener could be possibly stealing is the sound which he hears, and the sound is not something which can be stolen. Rabbi Shaber Soloveitchik Shlita says that by stating that the mitzvah is hearing the shofar, the Rambam establishes that the shofar is not a cheftza shel mitzvah. As such, the element of the shofar being stolen does not affect the mitzvah. Moreover, it's important to note that it's the Rambam's understanding that throughout the Torah, the invalidation of mitzvah haba ba'avera applies only when there's a psul in the cheftza shel mitzvah. Therefore, in the Talmud Yerushalmi, where it states that if someone eats matzah while walking out into a shus harabim on Shabbos, he fulfills his obligation, and mitzvah haba ba'avera is not considered a factor. However, on yovel, when the mitzvah is blowing the shofar, the Rambam would agree that a stolen shofar would pasul, and would not be good, and the person would not be yoitza. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot use a shofar from an idol, but for the eved, you are yoitza. And Rava says if someone blew a shofar on Rosh Hashanah for musical purposes, but not for the mitzvah, he's also yoitza. Just like if someone eats matzah without kavana, or is forced to eat it, he's also yoitza. So we see, according to Rava, mitzvah eina tzrichas kavana. If the blower of a shofar has kavana, and the listener does not, or vice versa, then they're not yoitza. And Rava says, a person is not over on Bal Taisif unless he adds on at the time of the mitzvah. So if one sleeps in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, he gets no malchus since he was maitzif beyond the zman of the mitzvah. Or if you hold mitzvah tzrichas kavana, Here is no Isser, since there's no Kavana to be Yotze the Mitzvah. And finally, we say that if a Kayan does Birchas Kayanim in five different shuls on the same day, there's also no Bal Taisif. Daf Chav Tes. Both the blower and the listener must have Kavana, so that the listener will be Yotze in Tkiya Shofar. We paskin like this by all mitzvahs, that both the Shemeya and the Mashmiya must have Kavana to be Yotze. For example, like Kiddush, both the person who makes the Kiddush and the person who hears the Kiddush have to have Kavana in order for the person who hears it to be Yotze. The basic machleiches of mitzvah tzrichas kavana is a machleiches tanayim, as we know from Psachim and Daf Kuf Yudalet. It's a machleiches rishayim, actually, how we paskin, as we see in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Samach, Sif Dalet. The Mechaber says one must have kavana to be yaitze. The Achrayim explain, however, that this chumra, that everybody has to have kavana, only applies if he could be doing the mitzvah for an additional purpose. For example, if a person listens to the tekiyas for musical purposes, another possible option, then he has to have kavana. However, if there's no other reason for a person to do this particular action except for the purposes of mitzvah, then he is yaitze even without kavana. An interesting nafgamina in halacha would be by benching. If a person, before starting to bench, has no kavana why he was saying Birchas Hamazon, he'd be yaitze anyways, since the benching was clearly for the purpose of mitzvah. What other benefit would a person get out of just saying the Birchas Hamazon stamazai? Therefore, the fact that he's doing it and just saying it means he's obviously doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah. So he doesn't have to have kavana. But let's say he's benching with kids and he's singing along, then we say mitzvah strichas kavana. And what that halacha would say is, since he must have kavana, here he has the musical benefit of singing along with the kids. So if he didn't have explicit kavana for benching, then he's not yaitz. The Mishnah. Regarding Amalek, the pasuk says, V'haya kasha yarim Moshe yaday, v'gavar Yisrael. When Moshe held up his hands, then Klal Yisrael would be winning the war. And when he put down his hands, Klal Yisrael would be losing the war. What does him holding up his hands have anything to do with winning or losing? So the Mishnah answers, the pshat is that as long as Klal Yisrael was misbal Hashem, and they had a lot of kavana, and they were misbal Hashem, then they were winning. But if they did not have kavana, and they were not misbal Hashem, and did not ask for Hashem to help them, then they were losing the war. So we see that kavana means a lot. The Mishnah adds that a cheres shaita v'katan cannot be mitzi others in tekiyah shofar and in other mitzvahs. And the Mishnah mentions a general klal, a general rule. Kol she'eina mechuyev b'davar, eina mitzi es harabim yidei chevasa. Any person who's not mechuyev in a particular mitzvah cannot be mitzi other people with their chiyev. So therefore we know that a woman is also pater from shofar, because it's a mitzvah saseh, shahazman grama. A person who is a chatzi eved and a chatzi b'nei chayrin cannot be mitzi people either. And the Gemara says, Ava b'reid Reb Zera, Ava was the son of Reb Zera, he learned, Kol habrachas kulan afal pisha yatza, mitzi chutz mibirchas halechem ubirchas hayayin. Any person is allowed to make a bracha, even though he was already yaitza the mitzvah, he's allowed to then go make the bracha for other people anyway, except b'birkas halechem and birkas hayayin. Even if you were yaitze already normally a mitzvah, you can be mitzi others. Since we say, kol Yisrael arevim ze bo ze, you have to care about your friend, because one Jew has to care for the other. So even though you're already yaitze the mitzvah, but since you care about the other people, that they should also be yaitze the mitzvah, you're allowed to make the bracha for them anyway. However, the exception to this is by birkas hananin, for example, birkas haperis or besamim, that you're not allowed to be mitzi others once you were yaitze already. Since these mitzvahs are not mitzvahs, they're only rishus. And since they're rishus, you don't say kol Yisrael arevim zeh bo zeh. That only applies in a case where a person has a chiyuv to do a mitzvah. But if something is a rishus, you don't have any obligation to be mitzi the other person. Therefore, if you were yaitze already, you're not allowed to be mitzi these other people. And Rava asks, what about hamotzi by matzah or birchas hayayin by kiddush? These are sort of a chiyuv, but sort of birchas hananin. Because on one hand, you're mechuyev to make kiddush, but on the other hand, bari priya gafen is a birchas hananin. So Rav Ashi saw by Rav Papi that he was mitzi others. And we see this in, Chaber speaks about it in Simen Kuf Samach Zayin, Sif Chaf. He said that by Lechem Mishnah, you cannot be mitzi others unless you are also eating. But the Gemara says to make hamitzi for children is okay, since for the purpose of chinuch habanim, you are allowed to do it. And this chinuch would be doyecha, even a potential bracha she'ein etzricha. And finally, we say the bracha on Halil and Megillah, you are allowed to say and be mitzi others, even if you already said it, because we say kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh. This marks the end of the third parak. Now let us begin the fourth parak, Parak Yom Tov, the Mishnah. If Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, they would blow shofar in the Mikdash, but they would not blow it in the Medina. Rashi says that the Mikdash is referring to the Beis HaMikdash only, not the rest of Yerushalayim. The rest of Yerushalayim was considered the Medina. Rambam says that the Mikdash was considered all of Yerushalayim. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that they would blow shofar on Shabbos, but only in the place of a Bezdin. Rabbi Eliezer says that Bezdin means only where the Bezdin HaGadol was, where the Bezdin with 70 people were, in other words, for example, in Yavne. Tanakhama says any place where there was a Bezdin at all, even a smaller Bezdin of 23 people, would be considered an area of a Bezdin, and they would blow there on Shabbos. The Gemara says we don't normally blow on Shabbos. We normally don't blow shofar on Shabbos. As the Pasuk says regarding Shabbos, zichrein trua, that on Shabbos you should remember, but not necessarily blow. Rabbi says that we don't blow when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, since we're afraid that a person will carry Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim. It's for the same reason we don't carry a lulav on Shabbos or the Megillah on Shabbos. In the Beis HaMikdash, we were not afraid of this, because we always say the rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash, that we do not keep necessarily all the Rabbanans in the Beis HaMikdash, because they were Zrizim, and all the Kohanim were around, and if one came to the point where they may have been Mechal, one would remind the other that it's an Issur. During Yovel on Yom Kippur, even if it's on Shabbos, all had a chiyuv to blow the shofar. Daf Lamed. By Yovel, the sound of an individual's shofar, there were so many of them, they were all so loud, you couldn't hear anything else. And the Mishnah. From here on, we continue with a number of Mishnayos, which talk about the other takanas of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And one of them is as follows. They used to take the lulav, the dalet minim, every day in the Beis HaMikdash, but in the Medina, they only used to take it on one day. As we see from the Pasuk, ulakachtem lachem b'yom harishon, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it's only b'yom harishon. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem alakechem, shivas yamim. But lifnei Hashem alakechem, in the Beis HaMikdash, you would take it for shivas yamim. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was mesaken to take the lulav all days of Sukkot, which is how we do it today, zecher l'migdash. So today, for example, the first day is considered midaraisa, and the rest of the days are zecher l'migdash. He was also mesaken that even though chodesh is mutter on the morning of Tezayin b'Nisan, and it becomes mutter at that point, but we still wait until the end of the day to be mater chodesh, the Mishnah. They used to accept witnesses any time on the 30th day. If all went well, they could proclaim that day Rosh Hashanah. However, if no Edim came, that month was considered Mole, and the next day was considered Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Hashanah. But on Rosh Hashanah, this was a very big problem, since on Lamed Elul, they weren't sure all day if this day was going to be Rosh Hashanah or not. At one time, Edim came late in the day, and the Levium got all messed up by the shir of the Tamid Shalbein Arbayim, regarding Nisuch Hayayim. They weren't sure what necessarily to sing, because they weren't sure whether it was weekday or whether it was Yontif. So they were Mesakin, that they would accept witnesses only until the time of the Tamid Shalbein Arbayim. If the witnesses came later, Rosh Chodesh was pushed off, and so was Rosh Hashanah. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that you could accept Edim all day again, since at that point there were no more issues of karbanos. What exactly happened, the Gemara asks. The Gemara answers that the Levium got mixed up, since they didn't know if they should be singing the Shir Shal Kodesh or the Shir Shal Chol. And finally, the Gemara says the Psalm that is said on Musaf or Rosh Hashanah is from Kapitel Pei Aleph in Tehillim, Harninu Lelokim Uzeinu, the same Shir Shal Yoyim that we normally say on Thursday. Daf Lamed Aleph. Each day we have a special Shir Shal Yoyim, and that we say it today the same way that they said that Shira in the Beis HaMikdash. We know on Sunday, it's Kapitel Chavdal, Lashem Haaretz, that God, Hashem, fashioned the world and became its sole ruler. On Monday, Godol Hashem, from Kapitel Memches, that Hashem divided the upper and lower realms and he ascended on high. On Tuesday, we say Elokim Nitzav Badaskel, Pei Beis, that Hashem made the land visible. On Wednesday, we say Kel Nekomas Hashem, Kel Nekomas Hafia, Kapitel Tzadik Dalad, that Hashem created the sun and the moon and will take revenge from those who worship them. On Thursday, we say Harninu, Kapitel Pei Aleph, that Hashem created fish and fowl to praise. On Friday, we say Hashem Moloch, which is Kapitel Tzadik Gimel, that Hashem finishes creation and ruled over them. And finally, on Shabbos, we say from Kapitel Tzadik Beis, Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos, from Nechemi says that Hashem rested. Rabbi Yehuda says this refers to the Zman Mashiach, the seventh millennium, that would end, the world would end at the year 6000. And Rav Katina said that the world is for 6,000 years, and then the world is destroyed for 1,000 years. V'niskav Hashem levad le'beyem ahu. Abaye says that it's going to be destroyed for 2,000 years. From Musaf on Shabbos, the Shira was not taken from Tehillim, but rather from Parshas Hazinu, Haziv Loch, and from Mincha they said parts of Oz Yashir. The Shechina, after the Churban, left Yerushalayim. It left Yerushalayim in 7 and 10 different stages, making a stop at each of the 10 places. Corresponding to this, the Sanhedrin then moved to 10 different places. Of course, they began in Lishkas Hagazis, in the Beis HaMikdash. Then they moved to the Chanus, in the Harabayas. Then to Yerushalayim, to Yavne, to Usha, back to Yavne, back to Usha, to Shafram, to Beis She'arim, to Tzipari, and finally to Tveria. Rabbi Eliezer said there were only 6 moves. The Gemara says, Toiv Lasheves Alpinas Hagag, which is a pasuk for Mishle, that it's better to dwell on the corner of a roof than to be in a house with a quarrelsome wife or a rival. Then we have another Mishnah. Another Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. If the head of the Beis Din went away, the Edom do not have to find him, but they can just go ahead in the Beis Din office, in the Makam Havad, and the rest of the Beis Din can declare Rosh Chodesh without the Rosh Havad, without the Rosh Beis Din. And the Gemara says, Kohanim are not allowed to duchen with their shoes, since the Kohen might bend down to tie one of them. If they became untied, he'll be embarrassed, and the other Kohanim will think that he's a Pasul Kohen. This is another one of the 9 Takanas of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The other 2 are, number 1, a person today to become a ger needs mila, tefila, but he was mavatel, that the fact that somebody needs to give money to Hekdesh. And then the last one is a machlaikas. It's either kerem revai, or the fact of lushan shal zahuris on Yom Kippur. We know that there was a small thread of crimson, a red thread, which was tied to the azazel. And originally it used to be that in the Beis HaMikdash, people would be able to look in and see if it became white. If it became white, we know from the Gemara in Yuma that people would know that the sins were forgiven. If it did not become white and it remained red, the sins were not forgiven. But since people used to be able to peek into the Beis HaMikdash and they would see whether it became white or not, if it did not become white, people would get all upset that Hashem was not giving them a kapara. Therefore, they waited until the Azazel was in the Midbar, then they would see whether it turned white or not, and then no one knew until after Yom Kippur whether it actually had turned white or not. Finally, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived 120 years. The first 40 years he was in business. The next 40 years he learned Torah. Finally, the last 40 years he taught Torah. Daf Lamed Beis, the Mishnah. As background, in Malchus, Zichrenus, and Shafrus, we also say psukim related to these inyanim, and we blow shafer at the end of the final bracha of each of them. Normally we know that the Shemayin Esrei has 7 brachas. The first 3 brachas, the 1 middle bracha, and 3 brachas. This, of course, is referring to Shabbos and Yontif. On Rosh Hashanah, we add 2 other brachas in the middle. So on Rosh Hashanah, we have a total of 9 brachas. And the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that on Rosh Hashanah, we say, Avos, Magen Avram, Gvuras, Mechayim Meisim, and Kedushas Hashem, Ata Kadosh. These are the first 3. And Malchias is included in HaMelech HaKadosh, and we do not blow Shefer. The 4th bracha is Kedushas Hayyim, which is Ata Vechartanu, and then we blow at the end of that. The 5th bracha is Zecher HaBris, and we blow at the end of that. And the 6th bracha is Shefris, and then we blow Shefer at the end of that. Then we have the last 3 brachas. Rabbi Akiva says we do the first 3 as normal. Then we do Malchias and Kedushas Hayyim together, then we blow. Then we do Zechreinus, then we blow. Then we do Shefris, and then we blow. And then we have the last 3 brachas. And this is, in fact, how we do it today. And the Gemara says, we know, we say the bracha of Avos from Havol Hashem B'nai Kelim, that we give to Hashem children of the mighty, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. And the Gemara brings psukim for all the other brachas of Shemayin Esrei, and the special brachas of Rosh Hashanah. For example, the pasuk of Zichrein Trua. The Gemara says, every time we remember with psukim of Zichreinus, we also say psukim of Malchus. Then we have a Mishnah. One is not supposed to say less than 10 psukim for each Malchus, 10 psukim for Zichreinus, and 10 psukim for Shefrus. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zuri says that 3 of each is also okay, b'di'evet. And the Gemara asks, why 10? Where does the number 10 come from? So the Gemara answers, this either represents the 10 hilulim of David in Tehillim, or the Aseres Hadibros, or the Asara Ma'amoros Shabahem Nivra Ha'olam, the Mishnah. We do not say psukim of Malchus, Zichreinus, and Shefrus that speak about punishment. The order of the 10 psukim are that we say 3 from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, and 3 from Navi. Rabbi Yossi says it's okay to finish with the 10th pasuk from the Torah. And the Gemara says we do not remember Zichreinus of individuals. We only remember Zichreinus, those that are related to the Rabbi. Some psukim can count as multiple psukim if they have the word melech numerous times. For example, Su'ush Armer Sheichem, Usu'upis Chayelem V'yavai Melech HaKavod, Mi'uzem Melech HaKavod. You have the word melech twice, therefore you can count it twice. And the Gemara says, when there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, we always paskin like Rabbi Yossi. The Mishnah. We blow Shefer in Musaf, and we say Malchus, Zichreinus, and Shefris in Musaf. This is because we say Bereiv Am Hadras Melech. We want to wait till everyone is there before we say that. The Shliach Tzibur should not blow the Shefer, but rather you should have somebody else blowing the Shefer. And a regular Yontiv, we say Hallel after Shachris. We do not wait to say it after Musa, because in the case of Hallel, we say Zrizin Makdimin Lemitzvah. It's better to do it earlier. And the Gemara says, they used to actually blow Shofar and say Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofars in Shachris, because of this halacha of Zrizin Makdimin Lemitzvah. But in those times, there used to be spies who used to come from the king. And the spies used to come because they weren't really supposed to be blowing Shofar. So what happened was they pushed off to Musaf because they would wait. The spies would come. The spies would see that they weren't doing anything. Then when they would leave, then they would blow the Shofar. And that's where the minute came to blow Shofar and say Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofars in Musaf, even though we say Zrizin Makdimin Lemitzvah, but rather we say Bereva Mahadras Melech, and we say it later on in Musaf. Hallel is not said on Rosh Hashanah at all. It's the time of Din. In the time of Din, it's really not appropriate to be saying Hallel. The Mishnah. We do not allow ourselves to be over on Muktzah, Tchum, or even ride a Behema, which are only Midrabanan, for the purpose of blowing Shofar. We don't stop little kids from blowing a Shofar on Rosh Hashanah if they do, since it's better for Chinuch to allow them to blow if they want to. Daf Lamed Gimel. Rabbi Yehuda says that women are not Mechuyev in the mitzvah of Smichas Karban, leaning on a Karban, and should not do it because of Bal Taisif. According to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, they can be Samech if they want to, therefore they can blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah too. According to Taisvis, a woman is allowed to make a bracha on a mitzvah that she's not mechuyev in. For example, a mitzvah to say Shazman Groma. The Rambam says, as he's always machmer with brachas, that a woman is not allowed to make a bracha on something that she's not mechuyev in. And as we learned in Simon Tov Kuf Petas Sivvav, the Mechaber says that she's not allowed to, but the Ramah, which is how we paskin, says that she is allowed to. The Mishnah. The order of the tekiyas are three times tekiyah, trua, tekiyah. One for Malchias, one for Zechronus, and one for Shofars. And we know that we do two different sets of blowing, one for Tekiyas de Meyushav before Shemon Esrei, and one for Tekiyas de Me'umad during Shemon Esrei, as we mentioned in Daf Tesayin, Kedei La'arvev Hasan. The length of the Tekiyas should be equal to three times a Trua. Rashi says that a Trua is equal to three very small sounds, Yevavas. Taisva says it's three times three small sounds, so it's equal to nine sounds. If there was no available Shofar during Malchias, Zechronus, and Shofars, and then they found one, he should blow them at that time. The Shatz is only Motzi those who cannot daven. All others must daven for themselves. The Gemara then brings the Stira. The Mishnah says that Trua is equal to three very short sounds. And Taisva says this is nine sounds. The Braisa says that a Trua is equal to three Shvarim, three medium length sounds, moaning sounds. In Simon Tov Kuf Dalad, we paskin like Taisva said a Trua is equal to nine sounds. Taflama Dalad. From the variety of psukim with the word Trua, three times, we know that we blow three sets of Tkiyas. Three times Tkiya, Trua, Tkiya. This is equal to nine blows. We learn this from the sequence from the Chatzaitzvus, and we also know that it's Pshuta Lefanao, Upshuta Shalachareah, that we blow a Tekiya before the Trua, and a Tekiya after the Trua. Rabbi Avahu was in doubt if the Trua is Genuche Ganach, a moaning sound, a Shvarim, or Yalile Yalil, a wailing sound, which is a Trua, or maybe it's both. So we did both Shvarim and Truas. And he was Mesakin specifically that we must do Tekiya Shvarim Trua Tekiya, Tashrat, Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya, Tashat, and Tekiya Trua Tekiya, Tarat. The Rush and the Ran point out that midaraisa we only need either Shvarim Trua, Shvarim, or Trua. And in fact, before Estakana, different people are different minhagim. Today the halacha is that we blow three times Tashrat, three times Tashat, and three times Tarat in the Tekiyas de Meyushav before Shemon Esrei. That's 30. And then, of course, we blow again 30 more later on. Taisus brings regarding Tekiyas de Me'uma during Shemon Esrei that the minig was to blow Tashrat after Malchias, Tashat after Zechronus, and Tarat after Shofars. Rabbeinu Tam changed this and said that he was Mesakin, that we have to blow Tashrat after all of them. So as we learned in Simon Tov Kuf Tzadik Beis, that it's brought from the Shelah, that today's minig is a mix of 10, Tashrat, Tashat, and Tarat after Malchias, 10 more after Zechronus, and 10 more after Shofars, that's equal to 60. We blow another 40 more later on to be Mesakin to get 100 Tekiyas on Rosh Hashanah, which is how we do it today. That's brought down in Taisvist, Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, as Aim Sisra, as a remembrance for the 100 cries of Devaira Hanaviah. If a person heard nine blows, one per hour, he still yaitza mitzvah shofar. However, if there was a major hefsik in Hallel or Megillah, long enough to finish it, then he must go back to the beginning. Tekiyas ein ma'akvis zu es zu. So if you can only do some of them, that's okay. But on Rosh Hashanah, you must do all of them. And you also have to do Malchias, Zechronus, and Shofars, otherwise you're not yaitza. The Gemara says the halacha is that you only must hear Tekiyas after Malchias, Zechronus, and Shofars, b'chaver ir, in a minyan. If you do it daven b'yechidus, then there's no chiyuv to hear in a specific order. This implies that the tekiyas are only done during chazaras hashatz, not the silent Shemon Esrei. However, the Magen Avraham brings that we blow even during the silent Shemon Esrei, and we know in many nusach svarim shuls today they have the minig to do this. The Gemara says that if a person is forced to choose, it's more important to hear the Shofar, which is the Araisa, versus hearing Malchus, Sechuenus, and Shofar, which is Midrabbana. The Sheet of Rabbi Yochanan is the purpose of the Shatz on Rosh Hashanah is to be Mitzi those who don't know how to daven. But one who does know must daven his own Shemon Esrei. Rabbi Gamliel says that the Shatz can be Mitzi even a Baki. The final daf, Laf Lamed Hey, we will finish Amir Tashem on the next tape.